You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, and on the line we are joined by Pastor Henry, and today we're looking about condescension and Jesus, right? So the concept of condescension is indeed associated with the passage in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Philippians chapters 2, verses 6 to 8. I will read it in a short bit. The passage is often cited as an example of humility and selflessness as it describes the attitude of Jesus Christ. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. And how are you?
I am good, Pastor. How are you? Well,
I'm very fine. Thank you.
Indeed, Pastor. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessed morning that you have given unto us. May you please be with us even as we discuss issues pertaining to your kingdom, Heavenly Father. May our hearts, Heavenly Father, be receptive even to the word which is going to be shared. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we're speaking about this. I'm trying. Yo, my Bible, Mfundisi, it does not want to open to the book of Philippians. We're speaking about, you know, because I really want to open, you know, I want to. So I'm opening it. The Bible is doing its own things, you know. Pastor, do you, maybe you have it. If you have it ready, Pastor, you can read it for us.
All right. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, isn't it?
Yes, yes, Pastor.
Yes. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
It's a beautiful one. Now my Bible has opened, Pastor. Now my Bible is there. Like, you know, okay. So earlier on, Pastor, you know, during the week, we spoke about condescension, right? In looking at it in terms of the things that we do as people, the things that are bad, you know. But this one, it's taking us, it's giving us a different sort of condescension of how Jesus, you know, showed humility and everything. So what separates condescension in Christ in the context of this scripture that we've read in the book of Philippians?
What separates condescension and Christ? Well, what separation condescension and Christ, it is the aspect of Christ is humility and selflessness. These are the two major virtues which separate condescension from Christ, because condescension is all about pride and all about looking at ourselves as being higher in terms of ability and other things than other people. Now Christ comes in as a humble being, comes in as a person who would put the best interest of others before his. Yes, so he set aside certain of his powers so that he can fit even in the body of this human being. He lowered himself to be born amongst his creation. He died amongst the condemned. He prayed even for the people who crucified him. And, you know, it is amazing on how Christ, the one who's the creator of heaven and earth, on how he says in the book of Psalms that the cattle on the hill, on the mountain, are mine. Silver and gold belong to me, and he comes to be born in a manger. He comes to be born in a borrowed place. When he comes to be born, he finds that all places, all hotels, beautiful places are filled up to capacity, and he decides to be born in a place amongst animals. He is the one who comes to say birds have got nests where they are able to sleep, but the Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. So now this is a person who comes and gives us a different picture altogether in relation to condescension, because you know, we are dealing with the Pharisees on the other side, who needed to be respected, who needed to be adorned in a certain apparel so that people can say, there goes a religious man. But when he comes, he never had all such kind of beautiful and luxurious stuff. Yeah, so that is what separates Christ from condescension.
Pastor, you know, most of the time whenever we're speaking, or not speaking necessarily, but whenever we're reading the Bible, the issue of humility and selflessness, like those qualities of Christ, selflessness and humility, they are always emphasized. Like, we find them almost all the time, and even when we're having conversations or when we're just reading the Bible, you know. Why is that so important? Why is it important that, you know, it is emphasized?
Why is it emphasized? You understand that the characteristic of being selfless is one of the most important traits of any Christian. So it is so significant that Jesus said it, that the most important of all commandments, the second most important commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that is selflessness. So now, you don't just need to love yourself, but love your neighbor as yourself. So when you do that now, you'll be able to put yourself in the shoes of your neighbor. You'll be able to put yourself in the shoes of other people you ever meet. Jesus extends this aspect of selflessness far beyond normal expectations, where we are to love even our enemies. Not just loving even our enemies, because loving our enemies, maybe sometimes you can pray for them, but look, you can pretend. But even going the next step, where you pray even for the for the people who persecute you.
Fundis, why say you pretend?
So now, you know, yeah, you can pretend loving your enemy and everything, but you know that you cannot pray for somebody whom you do not love.
True.
Yeah. So now he says, pray even for your enemies, those who even persecute you. Pray for them. In coming into this world, you know what Jesus did for himself? He made himself nothing and took upon himself the very nature of a servant. That is according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. He took upon himself the nature of a servant, the nature of a creature. That is being selflessness. So now, why is it emphasized in the Bible, the aspect of selflessness? It is because we will need to even care for other people. Because when we go to heaven, those people who never practice to be good neighbors here on earth will never inherit the kingdom of heaven, because in heaven, it will be more of being neighbors to one another.
Okay.
So if we fail to practice being good neighbors on earth, how are we going to practice it in heaven? Let's come to the issue concerning humility. So Christ, as I said earlier, he was born in a stable, laid in a manger, lived in a small town of Nazareth. That is humility. He said, the birds have got nests, so the Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. In the book of John chapter 13, you know what he does? None of his disciples were going to stoop to wash each other's feet, because they were all arguing about who is the greatest. But God desires that we be among those who have humble mindsets. What does he do? He comes and humbles himself to even wash the feet of the disciples. Look at this. The Creator, the one who's the Messiah, the one who's the King of Kings, coming. Imagine the King or the President coming to wash your feet. You see, a person who deserves to be respected, to be treated with a certain kind of respect, comes and bows down before you, kneels down before you, and he even reaches an extent where he washes your feet. Now, the feet which he's washing It's not the feet which are in shoes. It is the feet which are in the sandals.
Hey.
Dirty.
Dirty.
Yeah. So that is the quality which is being exhibited by Jesus Christ. Now, why are these two qualities
important,
supposed to be emphasized?
Mm.
It is because we are here for each other.
Mm.
We are here on earth for one another. We are here for a service of another person.
Mm.
Yeah, we are served to give a service to humanity.
Mm.
And you cannot give a service to another person when you are not selfless and you're not humble.
Mm.
You can't. Yeah, so now these two attributes or qualities are being emphasized because they are a foundation of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. So what can we learn, Pastor? What can we learn then from Christ's attitude towards life? We've seen him, every time we study scripture, we've seen from the beginning to the end of his life. What then can we take out from this? What can we then?
Well, what the lessons which we can learn from Christ's attitude towards life is that Jesus always looked for the good in others.
Mm.
He drew out the best in them. He received sinners and ate with them. You know that in the past, what used to happen is that when you quarrel with a person, one thing which you're supposed to do after you reconcile is eat together. So now Christ eating with the disciples means that, or eating with the sinners and publicans means that he even cared for them even beyond what eyes could, even beyond what a human being could think.
Mm.
So now eating with a person means that you have got no grudge with this person. You don't condemn this person. Imagine eating with a mad person.
Mm.
As dirty as they are, you are eating with them, you're sitting with them. It means that you don't look down upon these other people.
Mm.
So that is number one. Number two, Jesus like light. You know, Christ comes in the book of Matthew chapter 5, he teaches about light and salt.
Mm.
You see, Jesus, like light, was able to mingle with everyone without condemning them. Same as light has got no discrimination. So since light has got no discrimination, he came and mingled with those people. Why? Because he is the light of the world. So now, in trying now to give light to this dark earth, he comes and mingles with them so that his light can so shine amongst them.
Mm.
Then he comes. Light does not separate, but light comes and penetrates. So making the darkness light. So Jesus' followers are to penetrate the darkness of this world in their neighborhood, their villages, towns, and cities, to even lighten them with the glory of God.
Mm.
So the last aspect is concerning salt. So the attitude towards life of Christ is that he's that of salt.
Mm.
You know that salt is only useful when it's in contact with another thing.
Mm.
So now, as Christians, we need to be in contact with other people. Now, if you look down upon these other people you're supposed to be in contact with, you will not even desire their good.
Mm.
So now, we Christians, what we can learn from Christ's attitude towards life is that we need to mingle with those people. As we mingle with those people, we are able even to penetrate their circles and everything. And as we penetrate all these circles, we give them the loving acts of unselfish service and selfish service, which is going to preserve even the world from the world's goodness and flavor. It is able even to flavor the world, which is marred by moral decadency and these other things.
Mm.
So now, Christ's attitude towards life is that of light, which does not discriminate. Is that of salt, which is useful when it's in contact.
Mm. So, as we wrap up, my pastor was saying that Christ's life is that of love and all of those things. Is it easy though? As much as I know it's not easy, but I'm gonna ask it like that. Is it easy though? Because with him, people will argue like, but But Christ is God, you know. For him, it might have been easy. So what if someone argues that, I hear what you're saying, but it's difficult for us to live that life of selflessness and humility?
Yes, Christ is God, and he has invited us also to become like him. How? Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit in mm-hmm. us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. So it makes us, that aspect makes us to be like Christ. So it is not me who's living. It is Christ who's living in me. The Holy Spirit is the one who's living me. That's why the book of Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. Who is planted in me is the fruit. We are human beings made out of dust. Mm. So since we are human beings made out of dust of sand, it means that we are like a garden which can be improved.
Mm.
You see, so that's why the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit does not grow on a rock. It grows on where there's sand, where there's soil. So now, since a human being is a fruit, is a garden. Since he's a garden, he's able to. The Holy Spirit is able to be planted. Loosely, we can say the Holy Spirit is able to be planted in him. As the Holy Spirit is planted in him, the Holy Spirit is able to bear fruit. So that makes it now easy for us to do even the attributes which Christ did. Yeah,
Pastor, as we wrap up, any closing words from you regarding everything that we've spoken about during the week and today, and then after that, please do pray for us.
Thank you very much. The closing remarks is that condescension is deadly to the human race, which leaves us with broken relationship and thereby destroying our self-esteem. One needs to introspect on the characteristics of the condescending traits, or even ask other people so that they can help them to even identify those characteristics of condescension, such that at the end of the day, we need even to pray about them, and thereby, after we pray about them, we need to repent from such kind of a vice, and after we repent, we need to emulate Jesus Christ as the standard, the only one who has been given to us. My closing text is found in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So to each and every person who's there, make sure that you emulate Jesus Christ, who's our example and who's the standard to which we are supposed to be judged. So may the good Lord bless each and every person, we are praying. Father in heaven, we thank you even for the time you gave us so that we can look at this topic, which is seemingly to be a small one, but it's of great magnitude, Heavenly Father. We pray that may you please help us to love other people, even to be humble and selflessness, Heavenly Father, as we do even your work. Whenever we make mistakes, Heavenly Father, give us even the courage to pray and repent over the same issue, Heavenly Father. Continue blessing us and continue being with us as we continue even giving a service to other people here on earth. May you please allow that fruit of love to be able to blossom out in our lives, Heavenly Father, so that we can do that which you want us to do. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for being with us and speaking to us throughout the whole week. May you have yourself a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed Sabbath too.
Amen.
It was a pleasure.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.